Chapter 15.
Tangreen was our real crowning achievement,
Senator Bel Iblis said, draining the last of his glass and raising it high above his head. Across the expansive but largely empty headquarters lounge, the bartender nodded in silent acknowledgement and busied himself with his drinks dispenser.
We'd been sniping at the Imperials for probably 3 years at that point,
Bel Iblis continued,
hitting small bases and military supply shipments and generally making as much trouble for them as we could. But up till Tangreen, they weren't paying much attention to us.
What happened to Tangreen? Han asked.
We blasted a major ubiquitrate center into fine powder,
Bel Iblis told him with obvious satisfaction.
And then waltzed out right under the collective nose of the 3 Star Destroyers that were supposed to be guarding the place. I think that was when they finally woke up to the fact that we were more than just a minor irritant. That we were a group to be taken seriously.
I bet they did,
Han agreed, shaking his head in admiration. Even getting within sight of one of the Imperial Intelligence ubiquitrate bases was a tricky job, let alone blasting it and getting out again.
What did it cost you?
Amazingly enough, we got all 5 warships out,
Bel Iblis said.
There was a fair amount of damage all around, of course, and one of them was completely out of commission for nearly 7 months. But it was worth it.
I thought you said you had 6 dreadnoughts,
Lando spoke up.
We have 6 now,
Bel Iblis nodded.
At the time, we only had 5.
Lando said, and lapsed back into silence.
So after that was when you started moving your base around?
Han asked. Bel Iblis eyed Lando a moment longer before turning back to Han.
That was when mobility became a top priority, yes,
he corrected.
Though we hadn't exactly been sitting still before that. This place is, our 13th location in 7 years, Sina?
14th, Sina said. That's if you count Warmrick and the Matry asteroid bases.
14, then,
Bel Iblis nodded.
You probably noticed that every building here is built of bi-state memory plastic. Makes it relatively simple to fold everything up and toss it aboard the transports.
He chuckled.
Though that's been known to backfire on us. Once on Lelmra, we got hit by a violent thunderstorm, and the lightning strikes were hitting so close to us that the edge currents triggered the flip-flop on a couple of barracks buildings in a targeting center. Folding them up neat as a set of birthday presents, with nearly 50 people still inside.
That was terrific fun,
Sina put in dryly.
No one was killed, fortunately, but it took us the better part of the night to cut them all free. With the storm still blazing on around us.
Things finally quieted down just before daylight,
Bel Iblis said.
We were out of there by the next evening. Ah!
The bartender had arrived with the next round of drinks. Twistlers, Bel Iblis had called them. A blend of Corellian brandy with some unidentified but very tart fruit extract. Not the sort of drink Han would have expected to find in a military camp, but not too bad either. The senator took 2 of the drinks off the tray and handed them across to Han and Sina, took the other 2 off.
I'm still good, thanks,
Lando said before Bel Iblis could offer him one.
Han frowned across the table at his friend. Lando was sitting stiffly in his lounge chair, his face impassive, his glass still half full. His first glass,
Han realized suddenly.
Lando hadn't had a refill in the hour and a half since Bel Iblis had brought them here.
He caught Lando's eye, raised his eyebrows fractionally. Lando looked back, his expression still stony, then dropped his gaze and took a small sip of his drink.
It was about a month after Tangreen,
Bel Iblis went on,
that we first met Borsk Phalia.
Han turned back to him, feeling a twitch of guilt.
He'd gotten so wrapped up in Bel Iblis's storytelling that he'd completely forgotten why he and Lando had set off on this mission in the first place. Probably that was what had Lando glaring crushed ice in his direction.
Yeah, Phalia, he said. What's your deal with him?
Considerably less of a deal than he'd like, I assure you,
Bel Iblis said.
Phalia did us some favors during the height of the war years, and he seems to think we should be more grateful for them.
What sort of favors? Lando asked.
Small ones,
Bel Iblis told him.
Early on, he helped us set up a supply line through New Kav, and he whistled up some Star Cruisers once when the Imperials started nosing around the system at an awkward moment. He and some of the other Bothans also shifted various funds to us, which enabled us to buy equipment sooner than we otherwise would have. That sort of thing.
So how grateful are you?
Lando persisted. Bel Iblis smiled slightly.
Or in other words, what exactly does Phalia want from me?
Lando didn't smile back.
That'll do for starters, he agreed.
Lando,
Han said warningly.
No, that's all right,
Bel Iblis said, his own smile fading.
Before I answer, though, I'd like you to tell me a little about the New Republic hierarchy. Mon Mothma's position in the new government, Phalia's relationship to her, that sort of thing.
Han shrugged.
That's pretty much public record.
That's the official version,
Bel Iblis said.
I'm asking what things are really like.
Han glanced over at Lando.
I don't understand, he said.
Bel Iblis took a swallow of his Twistler.
Well then, let me be more direct,
he said, studying the liquid in his glass.
What's Mon Mothma really up to?
Han felt a trickle of anger in his throat.
Is that what Brelia told you?
He demanded.
That she's up to something?
Bel Iblis raised his eyes over the rim of his glass.
This has nothing to do with the Bothans,
he said quietly.
It's about Mon Mothma, period.
Han looked back at him, forcing down his confusion as he tried to collect his thoughts. There were things he didn't like about Mon Mothma. A lot of things when you came right down to it, starting with the way she kept running Leia off her feet doing diplomacy stuff instead of letting her concentrate on her Jedi training. And there were other things, too, that drove him crazy. But when you came right down to it...
As far as I know,
he told Bel Iblis evenly,
the only thing she's trying to do is put together a new government.
With herself at its head?
Shouldn't she be?
A shadow of something seemed to cross Bel Iblis's face, and he dropped his eyes to his glass again.
I suppose it was inevitable,
he murmured. For a moment he was silent. Then he looked up again, seeming to shake himself out of the mood.
So you'd say you're becoming a republic in fact as well as in name?
I'd say that, yes,
Han nodded.
What does this have to do with Phalia?
Bel Iblis shrugged.
It's Phalia's belief that Mon Mothma wields altogether too much power,
he said.
I presume you disagree with that assessment.
Han hesitated.
I don't know,
he conceded.
But she sure isn't running the whole show like she did during the war.
The war's still going on,
Bel Iblis reminded him.
Yeah, well...
What does Phalia think ought to be done about it?
Lando spoke up. Bel Iblis's lip twitched.
Oh, Phalia has some rather personal and highly unsurprising ideas about the reapportionment of power. That's Bothans for you. Give them a sniff of the soup pot and they climb all over each other to be in charge of the ladle.
Especially when they can claim to have been valued allies of the winning side, Lando said. Unlike others I could mention.
Sina stirred in her seat, but before she could say anything, Bel Iblis waved a hand at her.
You're wondering why I didn't join the Alliance,
he said calmly.
Why I chose instead to run my own private war against the Empire.
That's right, Lando said, matching his tone. I am.
Bel Iblis gave him a long, measuring look.
I could give you several reasons why I felt it was better for us to remain independent,
he said at last.
Security, for one. There was a great deal of communication going on between various units of the Alliance, with a correspondingly large potential for interception of that information by the Empire. For a while, it seemed like every fifth Rebel base was being lost to Imperials through sheer sloppiness and security.
We had some problems,
Han conceded.
But they've been pretty well fixed.
Have they?
Bell Iblis countered.
What about this information leak I understand you have right in the Imperial Palace?
Yeah, we know it's there,
Han said, feeling strangely like a kid who's been called on the carpet for not finishing his homework.
We've got people looking into it.
They'd better do more than just look,
Bell Iblis warned.
If our analysis of Imperial communiques is correct, this leak has its own name, Delta Source, and is furthermore reporting personally to the Grand Admiral.
Okay, Lando said. Security. Let's hear some of the other reasons.
Ease off, Lando,
Han said, glaring across the table at his friend.
This isn't a trial, or...
He broke off at a gesture from Bell Iblis.
Thank you, Solo. But I'm quite capable of defending my own actions,
the senator said.
And I'll be more than happy to do so when I feel the time is right for such a discussion.
He looked at Lando, then at his watch.
But right now, I have other duties to attend to. It's getting late, and I know you really haven't had time to relax since landing. Irenez has had your baggage taken to a vacant officer's efficiency back toward the landing pad. It's small, I'm afraid, but I trust you'll find it comfortable enough.
He stood up.
Perhaps later over dinner we can continue this discussion.
Han looked at Lando. Such convenient timing, the other's expression said, but he kept the thought to himself.
Sounds fine,
Han told Bell Iblis for both of them.
Good,
Bell Iblis smiled.
I'll need Sina with me, but we'll point you in the direction of your quarters on our way out. Unless you'd rather I assign you a guide.
We can find it,
Han assured him.
All right. Someone will come to get you for dinner. Until later, then.
They walked in silence for probably half the distance to their quarters before Lando finally spoke.
You want to go ahead and get it over with?
Get what over with?
Han growled.
Chewing me out for not bowing and scraping in front of your pal the senator,
Lando said.
Do it and get it over with, because we have to talk.
Han kept his eyes straight ahead.
You weren't just not bowing and scraping, pal,
he bit out.
I've seen Chewie in a bad mood be more polite than you were back there.
You're right, Lando acknowledged. You want to be mad a little longer, or are you ready to hear my reasons?
Oh, this should be interesting,
Han said sarcastically.
You've got a good reason to be rude to a former Imperial senator, huh?
He's not telling us the truth, Han, Lando said earnestly. Not the whole truth, anyway.
So?
Han said.
Who says he has to tell strangers everything?
He brought us here, Lando countered. Why do that and then lie to us about it?
Han frowned sideways at his friend, and through his annoyance, he saw for the first time the tension lines in Lando's face. Whatever Lando was reaching for here, he was serious about it.
Okay,
he said a little more calmly.
What did he lie about?
This camp, for starters, Lando said, gesturing toward the nearest building. The senator said they move around a lot. 14 sites in 7 years, remember? But this place has been here a lot longer than half a year.
Han looked at the building as they passed it, at the smoothness of the edges where the memory plastic would fold up, at the signs of wear in the sub-foundation.
There are other things, too, Lando went on. That headquarters lounge back there. Did you notice all the decoration they had in that place? Probably a dozen sculptures scattered around on those corner ledges between the booths, plus a lot of light poles. And that doesn't even count all the stuff on the walls. There was a whole antique repeated display panel mounted over the main bar, a ship's chrono next to the exit.
I was there too, remember?
Han cut him off.
What's your point?
My point is that this place isn't ready to pack up and ship off planet on 3 minutes' notice,
Lando said quietly.
Not anymore. And you don't get this soft and comfortable if you're still in the business of launching major attacks against Imperial bases.
Maybe they decided to lie low for a while,
Han said. This business of having to defend Bel Iblis was starting to feel uncomfortable.
Could be, Lando said. In that case, the question is why? What else could he be holding his ships and troops back for?
Han chewed at the inside of his cheek. He saw where Lando was going with this, all right.
You think he's made a deal with Phalia?
That's the obvious answer, Lando agreed soberly. You heard how he talked about Mon Mothma, like he expected her to declare herself Emperor any day now? Phalia's influence?
Han thought it over. It was still crazy, but not nearly as crazy as it had seemed at first blush. Though if Phalia thought he could stage a coup with 6 private dreadnoughts, he was in for a rude surprise. But on the other hand...
Wait a minute, Lando. This is crazy, he said. If they're plotting against Mon Mothma, why bring us here?
Lando hissed softly between his teeth.
Well, that brings us to the worst-case scenario, Han, old buddy. Namely, that your friend the Senator is a complete phony. And that what we've got here is a giant Imperial scam.
Han blinked.
Now you've lost me.
Think about it,
Lando urged, lowering his voice as a group of uniformed men rounded a corner of one of the buildings and headed off in another direction.
Gone Bel Iblis, supposedly killed, suddenly returned from the dead, and not only alive, but with his own personal army on top of it? An army that neither of us has ever heard of?
Yeah, but Bel Iblis wasn't exactly a recluse,
Han pointed out.
There were a lot of hollows and recordings of him when I was growing up. You'd have to go to a lot of effort to look and sound that much like him.
If you had those records handy to compare him with, sure, Lando agreed. But all you've got is memories, and it wouldn't take that much effort to rig a fairly close copy. And we know that this base has been sitting here for more than a year. Maybe abandoned by someone else, and it wouldn't take much effort to throw a fake army together. Not for the Empire.
Han shook his head.
You're skating on drive trails, Lando. The Empire's not going to go to this much effort just for us.
Maybe they didn't, Lando said. Maybe it was for Phalia's benefit, and we just happened to stumble in on it.
Han frowned.
Phalia's benefit?
Sure, Lando said. Start with the Empire gimmicking Akbar's bank account. That puts Akbar under suspicion and ripe for someone to push him off his perch. Enter Phalia, convinced that he's got the support of the legendary Garm Bel Iblis and a private army behind him. Phalia makes his bid for power, the new Republic hierarchy is thrown into a tangle, and while no one's watching, the Empire moves in and takes back a sector or two. Quick, clean, and simple.
Han snorted under his breath.
That's what you call simple, huh?
We're dealing with a Grand Admiral, Han, Lando reminded him. Anything is possible.
Yeah, well, possible doesn't mean likely,
Han countered.
If they're running a con game, why would they bring us here?
Why not? Our presence doesn't hurt the plan any. Might even help it a little. They show us the setup, send us back. We blow the whistle on Phalia, and Mon Mothma pulls back ships to protect Coruscant from a coup attempt that never materializes. More chaos and even more unprotected sectors for the Imperials to gobble up.
Han shook his head.
I think you're jumping at shadows.
Maybe, Lando said darkly. And maybe you're putting too much trust in the ghost of a Corellian senator.
They had reached their quarters now, one of a double row of small square buildings, each about 5 meters on a side. Han keyed in the lock combination Sina had given them, and they went inside. The apartment was about as stark and simple as it could be, while still remaining even halfway functional. It consisted of a single room, with a compact cooking niche on one side, and a door leading to what was probably a bathroom on the other. A brown fold-down table-slash-console combo, and 2 old-fashioned contour chairs upholstered in military gray occupied much of the space, with cabinets of what looked like 2 fold-down beds positioned to take up the table share of the floor space at night.
Cozy, Lando commented.
Probably can be packed up and shipped off planet on 3 minutes' notice, too,
Han said.
I agree,
Lando nodded.
This is exactly the sort of feel that lounge should have had, only it didn't.
Maybe they figured they ought to have at least one building around here that didn't look like it came out of the Clone Wars,
Han suggested.
Maybe,
Lando said, squatting down beside one of the chairs and peering at the edge of the seat cushion.
Probably pulled them out of that dreadnought up there.
Experimentally, he dug his fingers under the gray material.
Looks like they didn't even add any extra padding before they reupholstered them with this...
He broke off, and abruptly his face went rigid.
What is it?
Han demanded. Slowly, Lando turned to look up at him.
This chair, he whispered, is not gray underneath. It's blue gold.
Okay, Han said, frowning. So?
You don't understand. The fleet doesn't do the interiors of military ships in blue gold. They've never done them in blue gold. Not under the Empire, not under the New Republic, not under the Old Republic. Except one time.
Which was?
Han prompted.
Lando took a deep breath.
The Katana fleet.
Han stared at him, an icy feeling digging up under his breastbone. The Katana fleet?
That can't be right, Lando,
he said.
Gotta be a mistake.
No mistake, Han.
Lando shook his head. Digging his fingers in harder, he lifted the edge of the gray covering high enough to show the material beneath it.
I once spent 2 whole months researching the Dark Force. This is it.
Han gazed at the age-dulled blue-gold cloth, a sense of unreality creeping over him. The Katana fleet. The Dark Force. Lost for half a century, and now suddenly found. Maybe.
We need something better in the way of proof,
he told Lando.
This doesn't do it by itself.
Lando nodded, still half in shock.
That would explain why they kept us aboard the Lady Luck the whole way here, he said. They'd never be able to hide the fact that their dreadnought was running with only 2,000 crewers instead of the normal 16. The Katana fleet.
We need to get a look inside one of those ships,
Han persisted.
That recognition code Irina sent. I don't suppose you made a recording of it.
Lando took a deep breath and seemed to snap out of it.
We can probably reconstruct it, he said. But if they've got any sense, their code for getting in won't be the same for their code getting out. But I don't think we have to get aboard the ships themselves. All I need is a good close look at that repeater display panel back in the headquarters lounge.
Okay,
Han nodded grimly.
Let's go and get you that look.